heart, come in, come out. The spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this cup.
Hallelujah.
You will never thirst.
Never, never. Hallelujah.
Through the spirit and the blood in God. Oh, he who hath the oh, he who hath the ear,
let him hear
what the spirit said to the church.
Never fear, never fear, Dublin Bride. Where you will never thirst again.
Oh, the spirit and the blood say, come,
come on,
come in,
come in, come on.
The spirit of Elijah
turns us back.
This far,
you will never thirst again.
Oh, the spirit and the blood say, come.
God's voice is calling from heaven tonight.
God's voice is calling from heaven. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sin. Sins have reached heaven. What is a iniquity? Oh, the spirit and the blind say, come.
Come on, Church of Dublin.
Oh, come on.
Come in.
Come up.
Come up to the glories of the Lord tonight.
Oh, the spirit of Elijah turns us.
Turns us back.
Come and drink of this water.
You will never thirst again.
Oh, the spirit and the blood say, come,
come out. Come out tonight. Come out. Come out. Come in.
Come out.
Come out.
Turns us,
it turns us back.
Come and drink of this rock.
You will never, never, never thirst again.
The spirit and the bride say, come.
Oh, the spirit and the bride say, come tonight.
The spirit and the bride say, come.
Oh, we'd say, Church of Dublin, come tonight.
The spirit and the bride say, come. I enter the holies of holies. I enter through the blood of Lamb.
Well, let's enter in tonight, boldly tonight.
To worship your only Jesus, I enter to honor I am.
Well, let's worship him tonight, Lord. I
worship.
Oh, we worship you, Jesus.
We worship.
Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. I worship.
For your name is holy God.
For your name is holy.
For your name, holy, holy, holy.
tonight. Oh, you enter in into the temple. You give thanks to the ancient of days. To run in, for his mercies unto us. Thank you, Lord. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Shout, holy people, how excellent is thy name. Praise his name. For his mercies unto us, his mercies unto us. Thanks to the ancient of days. We give you thanks tonight. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Remember when we first got you. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Church of Dublin, we have gone far. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Ancient of days. Give thanks to the ancient. We give you thanks. Give thanks to the ancient of days.
Let's sing one more. Let's sing. We want to walk in the footsteps of Elohim. I'm sure you want to walk with him. Oh, all the regrets in life is when we don't walk with him. But how wonderful when you're in harmony and tune with him.
Hallelujah.
That's when you see what life is all about. Amen. Let's sing that as we come to a close of the worship.
Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven.
There's a great portion of heaven.
It's waiting for you because of what you decided.
Oh,
that was the prophecy.
Was the prophecy
the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce.
That is what will produce
a great victory. In the love we find,
oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time.
The divine love. This path has many, many trials.
Oh, this path has many trials and many battles against the enemy.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh,
to roll in this path. We can already hear the chariot.
We can hear the chariot.
Our beloved one coming to me.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim,
that divine love to live in me. Oh, I want to walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, that divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me. Oh, it's my desire that divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me.
I'm sure that's your desire, divine love. Hallelujah. To live in you. We just want to greet our visitors this evening. We've got Tom, Brother René's friend. God bless you. Hallelujah. We do greet you this evening. Also, Sister Victoria's friend, Yihien. I'm very sorry. That's
Ishen.
Brother George can pronounce it for us.
Ishen.
We're really glad to have you with us as well. God bless you. Sister Dube's niece, also Jennifer's with us. God bless you. May you feel at home in the presence of the Lord. I want to greet Brother David Nash and his wife, Sister Deborah. It's been 3 years. You know, time really flies. I was asking them, when was it that they were last here? It was 3 years ago. Who would have ever thought? But we're so glad to be with them. So glad to have them with us this evening. Really looking forward to the ministry of the word. Brother David's been many places, a lot of missionary work. He was giving a little bit of testimony at Brother Tom's on Wednesday, had a real wonderful time just to see how the Lord moves. So what we're desiring this evening, let the Lord have his wonderful way.
Hallelujah.
This service is in the hands of the Lord. As we give it over to the brother, whatever the Lord wants to lead to be done, let it be done. Let the Lord move over every seat. Let the Lord move over every home that's represented, every young person. Every one of our children would be our desire. So we're really glad to have him here this evening. Let's just bow our heads once more and pray as we invite our brother to the pulpit. Father, how we just want to bring everything once again up unto thee. Father, how we do love to worship you, Lord. How we love, Lord, to come away, Lord, from this life. Father, the toils of this life, Lord, the activities and the busyness of life. And Father, to get shut in with thee. Father, to be shut in with God in the secret place. And Father, even as we've come in to worship, Lord, thank you that you've drawn near to our souls. And Father, how we just want to just, Lord, humble ourselves before thee and just pray. Father, that you would just continue on. Father, let there just be a great victory in the love divine upon this night. Move, Father, we'd pray, Father, and just, Lord, glorify your name. Father, them that haven't managed to make it, we do dedicate them up unto thee. Father, we do pray as well for the visitors in our gates. Let them be at home in your presence. Father, let them know that there's no visitor in the house of God. But Father, let them find their place, Lord, upon this day would be our desire. Father, we dedicate all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We do hand over, Brother David. God bless you.
God bless you this evening. When I heard that, I hadn't heard that song for several years, Dumela Fela, I thought I was going to have to speak in Lingala this evening. Or is that Sota? Sota? Sota. Okay. It's been a long time, even since I was in South Africa. But glad to be here this evening. It's been a long time. But praise the Lord, he's the same God and still watching over each one of us. Proud to have my wife with us this evening. And she picks her trips. We were in Israel for about 11 days before we came here. And it's so interesting to be there and to see to bring into perspective some of the things that we read in God's Word. Had a wonderful time. And so appreciate your prayers this evening. I was thinking, I've been praying, of course, for a while about these services, but today as I got to looking at it and start thumbing through the notes, and I noticed in Israel when they brought you, or you went in for your evening meal, it was like this giant buffet, and they had all these different foods, and then over here they had all these salads, and over here they had all the desserts, and over here they had the breads. And sometimes that can be detrimental because you don't know what to eat because it's all good. And so, the first few days, I would try to take a little tiny bit of this one and a little tiny bit of that and a little tiny. But by the time you get there, the plate's so big you can't eat it all. So pray for me tonight, because as I was looking through the notes, I'm going, oh my Lord, there's such a banquet. Where do we start? And where do we stop? So unless you want to be here till morning, your prayers would be appreciated. So God bless you this evening. Let's, how hungry are we? Are we really hungry? You want a big meal? Well, praise the Lord. Then let's, in that case, we'll turn to Romans, the first chapter. I changed, we did a bunch of notes and things, and I changed the notes about three times, so we'll just see where the Lord goes with it. Let's approach the author. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're here this evening not for my sake, and not just for the sake of the individuals gathered here, and yet it is for those things. Father, we desire the will of God. Amen. We're here to give honor, glory, and praise to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, may I lay aside every thought and such that would be a hindrance, and may each one here also lay aside their thoughts and things. Amen. Lord, let this mortal man get out of the way that immortality might speak to this congregation this evening. And may each one of them lay aside their mortality and listen with ears from on high, that you might speak from lip to ear, Lord, and ear to heart. Hallelujah. Thus it be the heart of God to the heart of the believers, Lord. I thank you. I give you this service now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In Romans, the first chapter, we are indeed happy to be back and thank Brother Andrew for the opportunity to stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thank each one of you for your sacrifices to be here this evening. I know it's not probably a normal thing for a Saturday night. Starting in Romans 1st chapter, 1st verse, says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which is promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And we'll drop down to verse 7, and he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then we'll drop on down again to the 16th verse, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him that from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Just a few more scriptures. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we've read your word. We ask you to expound, Lord, as you would, that we might learn of thee, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Please be seated. As for title, Brother Burgess was asking me, they became fools. I think the first thing that we should look at is back where we started, because he says there that it's, you know, this is the Apostle Paul, servant of Jesus Christ. We know he's the apostle that God called to the Gentiles. He's been separated to the gospel of God. And he mentions there in verse 2, which he has promised before time of his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So we realize that this gospel of God, this gospel of Jesus Christ, was promised in the Holy Scriptures. So all the way from Genesis 1 up through the end of Malachi 4, it was all in there promised of God. And that all of those, the things that were being manifest through the time of Jesus Christ, through the book of Acts, and now on into the Gentile dispensations and times, it's all promised and a part of that Old Testament. I have once or twice been accused of saying that I don't read enough quotes. Well, you have the tapes. Honestly, you've got 1,200 tapes, and sometimes Brother Branham might tell the story two or three different ways. Go listen to the tapes. You know, I may, if I quote something, sometimes I'll read a direct quote, but usually I'm paraphrasing because I'm hearing it or telling you what I heard from it. But I will, I like to tell people this, I'll read you 13,000 quotes in two words, Bible and Bibles. If you can't find it in this book, Brother Branham didn't preach it. And you can go and run it through your message search and run those two words, Bible and Bibles, over 13,000 times in 1,200 messages, he used one of those two words. That should tell you something about the message of the hour. So if they don't point you back to this book, or they've got a doctrine, or it's somebody, and they've got their own thing, or they're trying to point you to themselves, call them what they are. They're liars, they're false prophets, because if it's not in the book, it's not in the message. That's how I see it. There, you just heard 13,000 quotes. Y'all happy? Praise the Lord. So he said that these things were promised before in the Scriptures concerning Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now we realize it says made according to the seed of David according to the flesh, but we know that Jesus Christ came not of normal flesh and blood as we do through the lineage. He was the lineage of David brought Mary on the scene, but he was not of that lineage per se as we think of it, because he came, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When the angel came and spoke to her, he was a spoken word seed. He was neither Jew nor Gentile, Greek. He was none of those things. He was not even, he was not that, because he was the seed of the woman, and a woman doesn't have a seed. So what seed was the seed of David? Well, we could go back and begin to read from the Psalms. Or we could go back and begin to look at the life of David. And we could see Jesus Christ in seed form in the life of David. We could see how that when David, you know, he desired to drink from the well of Bethlehem, and the men fought through, and the word, I love that place where it says they laid their lives in jeopardy. They surrendered everything to bring a drink to their king. And when they laid their lives in jeopardy and they fought through all those Philistines and they came up with the water, you know, I don't know what their expectation was. Perhaps that the king would be happy and drink. And instead, when David saw what they had done, he poured the water out on the ground. We know from a prophet's message, he said that was Christ pouring himself out for you and I. He said Christ was the well, Christ was the water, and Christ was poured out for you and I. That's the seed of David. Because we find over in, I think it's Psalms 22, if I remember rightly, he said that I am poured out like water. It was the I am God. When Jesus Christ was elevated on Calvary, it was the I am that was being poured out through Jesus Christ. It was the Word of God manifested. It was the things that David had done anointed in his life as a king. He was anointed to be king from Samuel, and as it went down through time, it was the anointing of God that propelled him, that held him, that kept him, but it was the Word of God that sent him from that sheepcote to the throne. Because Samuel had been commanded, the Word of the Lord came to Samuel and spoke to him and said, "Go anoint me a king." The anointing came to preserve him, to keep him, but it was the Word of God that chose him and sent him there in the first place. And it's the same way with you and I. We are called. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and that Word was made flesh. Very familiar scriptures, and it's the Word of God. When that Word became flesh, it was the seed that had been planted by the law and the prophets and the Spirit of God coming down, and this Word and that Word and that Word, and one day it came to pass as the seed of God, the seed of the woman. It was God's Word revealed in Jesus Christ. Hence, if it's not in the book, don't even listen. It was the seed of God being manifested. The seed of David. We look at the life of David, and it's so in tune with the Word of God. And we, of course, we like to criticize David because he fell in adultery. And after he fell in adultery, he begins to repent and get those things right in his life. And he's run out of his own city. And being run out of his own city, he goes and weeps upon a hill. And as he weeps over Jerusalem, and he looks at it, and he's weeping over the city. And we know that, I think it was 600 years later, 500 years, however it works, that Jesus did the same thing. And how that he wept over the city. It was the seed of David being manifested in Jesus Christ. And if you watch it carefully, it was adultery was the sin that sent David to the hill. And it was adultery in the Garden of Eden that sent Jesus Christ to that same hill. It was the seed of God manifested in fleshly form through Jesus Christ. And so we see this as we start into this book. And it was the seed according to the flesh. The flesh became the Word, seed of God, manifested. And he continues to be declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Or from the dead, I'm sorry. The resurrection power was in those words. And Jesus Christ became those words. And the power of the resurrection that was in Jesus Christ is now to be imparted, delivered. Dispensation is another word it uses in the Scripture. And that's not as we think of it as a time frame. But it's actually like the man that has... The lawyer, when they have an inheritance and you go before the lawyer and he said, well, you're supposed to have this and you're supposed to have this and you this and you this and you this, and they dispensate, and we're in the dispensation of the gospel of Jesus Christ when he's giving each man his portion. Each woman your portion in Jesus Christ. And it comes because the power of the resurrection that was in those words. I will not leave his soul in hell, neither suffer my Holy One to see corruption. And Jesus had complimented that scripture and said, tear this temple down in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And when the deep
responded to the deep, it came to pass. And so the Spirit of the resurrection is in the Word of God. And the Spirit of resurrection that raised up Jesus Christ is now being imparted to you by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. By the seed word of David. Praise the Lord. And so we drop down there because this is where we really enter into the picture. We weren't back there with the Romans. But he said there in verse 7, he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Are you called to be a saint tonight? Amen. Did you realize that we're in Rome? You ever read about the vision of Daniel, or the king of the dream, I forgot which it was, but when he saw that great beast, and it came down, and all of a sudden you came to the legs of iron, and then you come down and you had iron and clay all the way down into the toes. Brother Branham saying it, he said, there's a streak of Romanism in every nation on earth. Amen. Brother, sister, we're in Rome. This book is for you. The things in this book are instructions to us to how to overcome that spirit of Rome that's on this world, that's in this nation, that's in that nation, that's in every nation on the earth. And it comes by the spirit of power of resurrection. By the resurrection power of the preaching of the gospel. And to all that are in Rome. Now watch, we can stop here just for a moment. There's two little dots after that where all that are in Rome. Brother Branham said, you know, sometimes those two little dots denote a space of time. And then there's one place where he preaches this day the scripture is fulfilled. He said there's 2,000 years between those two dots, those particular dots. So we can stop here and think about this for a minute. And as he said, to all that are in Rome. And then there's two dots, and he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we pause for a minute and think about that next line, and run it all the way back to Genesis, the first chapter. How many want to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. And well, Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. And the Son of God, they carry the traits of their Father. And Jesus was, if you think about the things that He did in life, and He did, He lived out, He said, if you can't understand, then at least accept Me because of the very works I do. Because they were the works of the Father. He's Jehovah Provider. And He provided, you know, a whole abundance of fish and bread to the multitudes. That was Jehovah Provider acting in Jesus Christ. It was Jehovah Healer. He healed the sick. He did those things. It was Jehovah manifesting Himself through Jesus Christ. And if we go back to Genesis 1, God has a personality. We have a personality. We all do. Every one of us is different. We have different things we like, don't like. We all have a personality. If we have a personality, we're made in the image of God. God has a personality. He wants to heal. He wants to provide. He wants to give. He wants to be the winner of your battle. He wants to be your Savior. That's His parts of His personality. But we look at Genesis 1 and it says, in the beginning, God created. God created. That's the main portion of His personality. All the rest of it comes because God created. Amen. He's a creator. And it's God created the heavens and the earth. And we go back and we look at this scripture in Romans. All to all you that be in Rome, to all of us, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Every word of God, He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and so on. He's the Word of God, and the power of creation lays behind every word of God. Amen. He said, let there be light. what's coming from those lamps. What was outside and still outside today? Sunlight. Starlight, when the sun goes down, all the different forms of light that were created by one word. Amen. And the thing about it is, the light we have from those lights tonight is not the same light that you had when you were here the other night. Amen. It's new light. The sunlight that you saw today is not the same sunlight that was here yesterday. Because God's word with the power of creation, let there be light, is still creating light. Amen. And it will create light throughout eternity unless He says stop. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As long as the word of God stands, which it will stand throughout the eternities, there will be light because God said so. So when you look at this and He says to all you that were in Rome, that's us. Yeah, we're down at here at the end, coming along, you know, the 11th or 12th hour workers, whatever it was, you know, scratching our way in at the end. But you know what? He said grace to you. And the same word that said it to those that were standing there in the courts of Caesar, for you and I, that grace is being manifested yet tonight. Because God said so. Another place He said, my peace I give to you. Not as this world gives peace. It's peace that passes all understanding. You are imparted peace tonight by these words. Because God's word will never fail. And it will never stop unless He tells it to stop. Because He is a creator. You love the Lord tonight. So He says those things, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And He continues down and we jump down, going to just maybe a little bit of teaching here. But we'll start at verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. If you believe the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, in those words lies the power of God unto salvation. In the words that you receive. Because the power to resurrect you from the man that we became because of the fall in the Garden of Eden, the power of resurrection. One place Brother Branham said, the very spirit of resurrection that resurrected you out of sin and trespasses and those things is the same one that will take you out of this world. It's the same Spirit. It's the power of the resurrection. And the fact that you can see, we think of the old colored lady they said there in America, and they asked her one time, how she was doing. She said, well, I ain't what I want to be. And I'm not what I ought to be, but I sure ain't what I used to be. And if you've got that testimony, brother, sister, the power of God of salvation rests in you by the word of God. The power of the resurrection has already begun to change this vile body. Whom He hath justified, He hath sanctified. Whom He hath, those are past tense, sanctified, He hath glorified. In the eyes of God, it's a finished product. Amen. In my eyes, in your eyes, we probably look at each other and go, what's the matter with that guy? Yeah, come on. You know? Well, that brother, he's always staggering around and stumbling. What's the matter with him? Look out, you might be next. But you see, in God's eyes, He's looking at you with the same eyes. And says, them two is glorified. Because in the eyes of God, you are the glorification, the bringing forth by the creative word of God imparted to you through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You become the gospel. Is it not written that you become written epistles, read and known of all men? It's everywhere in the book, brother, sister. You don't have to be afraid. It's the power of God unto salvation. This is the preaching of the word brings the power of the resurrection to take you into full and total salvation through Jesus Christ, the Word. So to those that believe, and then he mentions that to us, to the Jews first, he said it because the gospel said it had to start at Jerusalem. And then it went to the Samaritans, and then it finally made its way around to us Gentiles. Prophet of God talked about us, you know, we weren't even looking for a Messiah.
Amen.
We was walking around with the club on our back. But the thing of it was the grace of God being imparted through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel said there would be a light unto the Gentiles. Who is the light? Jesus Christ. He has to come to the Gentiles. He has to be manifested in the Gentiles. He called for a Gentile bride. He will have what he asked for. He will have what he said. You might think tonight that you're doing all kinds of, got all kinds of problems and you got bruises or whatever you got on you. And you're thinking, oh, it's such a spiritual trial. And having a, you know, if you're having a trial, let me ask you a question. Did it have a start? If it had a start, Brother Branham said, it has to be an ending to it. So hang on and believe what God's Word said about you. I don't care what it looks like. He said He'll have a bride without spot or wrinkle. That's me! I don't care what it looks like in my life. I don't care, you know, how many problems I have, how much I stagger, how much I stumble. Jesus Christ staggered going up Calvary. He won't get mad at me for staggering in this life because He said there will be a bride without spot or wrinkle. That's you and I. And the same creative power that said that has the power to bring it to pass. Glory. And he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith.
Amen.
We become the very righteousness of God by receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said, faith is a revelation.
Amen.
It comes to you, revelation upon revelation, revelation upon revelation, line upon line, line upon line, word upon word, word upon word, here a little, there a little, that you might receive the rest. Glory to God. And it's revealed, revelation by revelation. Enoch walked with God. You mean step by step? Until one day, he was not.
Amen.
That's what it says. I know there's a lot of different... I've heard the rapture preached a lot of different ways. All I know is Enoch walked. All I know is Isaiah said, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, to receive the rest. Okay, to the Jew first and also the Greek, that's how the righteousness of God is revealed. As it is written. Where does it come from? As it's written.
Amen.
How did Jesus get past every trial? It is written.
Amen.
It is written.
Amen.
Because God wrote it. Because God spoke it. And it was written down. That's our salvation is in it is written.
Amen.
Okay? The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
The justified, we live by revelation.
Amen.
Brother Branham at one place said that you need revelation more than we can ever, we need it more than we can ever imagine.
Amen.
Why? Because that's wherein our salvation is. That's wherein our justification,
Amen.
Sanctification, glorification is. It's all in realizing who you are
Amen.
And what your position is in Jesus Christ. I am the redeemed of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And he said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So now he begins to get, how would we say it, a cutting edge, a razor's edge. He's now he's starting to make a distinction There will be those who come, and they will hold the truth in unrighteousness. They will hold the truth. You can hold, I could hold, you know, if I had all the message books, whatever it is in my arms, and they will hold that in unrighteousness. That means that it's held in a non-upright position. They don't establish it as being the truth. They don't establish it as the right. But the word there, hold, is actually not like to hold this way, but it actually means they want to hold it down. They want to keep the book shut. Brother, sister, the prophet of God was sent to open the book. And they want this book closed to you. They want you to have to go to them for their revelation. They want you to have to go to their doctrine or their whatever it is. And if that's what they're telling you, they're trying to keep the book closed and they're holding the word in unrighteousness. And they befall the wrath of God, which is revealed from heaven against those who hold the word in such position. And he says, because he goes on, that they that... That which may be known of God was manifest in them. They're under an anointing. It can be manifest. There's things that can be known of God in their lives. Brother, sister, we're under that time. You know, we've heard the tape, Anointed Ones at the End Time. And he said there is a genuine Holy Ghost anointing.
Amen.
It's an anointing of the Holy Ghost, a genuine Holy Spirit. And they are anointed, and they manifest. We were talking, I think it was last night, and Brother Andrew was sharing some of the things from Benny Hinn and some of these other men, and how they have such an anointing, and you can see the manifestations of the healing, and the being slain in the Spirit, and all of those things, and the great music, and all those things, but they don't have the relationship with Jesus Christ that'll take them out of here. It's manifest in them, but they're holding the truth in unrighteousness. They don't want you to know it was Jesus Christ in the garden. They don't want you to know when Abraham took Isaac up the hill and had the wood on his back, and Isaac turns to him and says, "Father, we have all the things, the elements of the sacrifice." And he's got the wood on his back, and he says, "But where is the lamb?" Type of Jesus Christ going up with the wood on his back. And when he says, "Where is the lamb?" And I love those words that Abraham said. Abraham was a prophet, brother, sister. And when Abraham said, "God will provide himself. God will provide himself a sacrifice." God himself, when Abraham said that, he made the way. It was one of those seed that had to be manifest in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God himself had to become the Son. To provide the sacrifice for you and I. God will provide himself. And they don't want you to know that. They want you to think, "Oh, it's a great anointing. It's this, it's that, whatever it is." But they don't want you to know the book's open.
Amen.
This is Christ, the Word, for you and I. Because that which is known of God is manifest in them. God showed it to them. He showed them how to be partakers in the anointing. He showed how to heal the sick. Even raise the dead and do some of those things. There's many mighty works. Did you know that those things were manifested at Azusa Street? And in early 1900s, USA, and just side note, you know, you can ignore this if you want to, but Azusa is A-Z-U-S-A. Isn't it interesting how God uses the small things? Alpha and Omega, USA. And the gifts were restored there before a prophet's message was on the scene. It was the culmination or the capstone, if I can say that, of the spirit of the man. Man's wisdom had reached its pinnacle, and they realized they needed the Holy Ghost. They realized they needed those manifestations, and God gave it to them with a genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost under the age of a man. From Ezekiel, when he saw the spirits of God, what did he say? He said, I saw a lion. I saw a beast of sacrifice. I saw a man. And I saw an eagle. And before the eagle anointing arrived, they had already received those things. Are you beginning to understand why it's so close? Because they're anointed with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost under the anointing of a man. And they carry that anointing right into the message of the hour. And they will take the words of the eagle messenger, and they'll begin to think about it. Well, I must be the new Elijah. Because I had this miracle, or I had that, or I'm the new Joshua, ignoring the fact, Brother Branham said, the Joshua of our day is the Holy Ghost. You see, but they come unto that with the spirit of a man's thinking. And it's a genuine anointing. And that's why they have great ministry. Thousands. And they claim to believe the message of the hour. Then why aren't they opening the book? Why aren't they pointing people back to this Jesus Christ that you and I know tonight? The God of this book. But you see, when the anointing of the eagle came after the spirit of the man, it becomes a double anointing. Oh yeah. That's what makes it even greater. Because it's now, and that's why it can be so close as to see the very elect, because they're anointed. And they're anointed so close. But if they ignore the eagle message and the promises that came with that anointing, they'll find themselves with the book closed. And if the book is closed, they won't be there. Because in Revelations, the book was open. And the names were on the book. It has to be an open book. So it was showed to them, for the invisible things, I'm in verse 20, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. They can look to the things of the creation of the world. We look back at what the prophet of God again said, and he said, now watch. He goes, he said the first Bible was the one in the stars. I don't know a lot about it. There's some men that have studied that out. The two that I remember, he said, that Jesus Christ came under the sign of Virgo for the virgin birth. And he came in the time of the lamb or the ram, which would be Aries. And he said the next coming is at the lion, or what we would call Leo, for the lion of the tribe of Judah. You know, men like Abraham and Job, they could read all that stuff just like we read the Bible. I can't do it. God bless them. I hope they show me someday. We'll sit down for a few thousand years and think, Brother David, it was this and this. Oh, my. You see? And also he said, look at nature. And he said, you take the seed, the tree dies and the seed falls off, or the life goes out of the tree, it goes back down, and at the scent of water, it begins to come again. And the life comes back up and begins to manifest again. And he said, that's the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, the sun rises in the morning, travels across the sky, sets in the evening. The earth goes into darkness. But as sure as that sun will rise in the morning, he said, that's the birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's been declared unto them in nature from the creation of the world, and it's clearly seen. And it's understood that these things were made to declare the glory of God and the life of Jesus Christ. His eternal power and Godhead, so much that they are without excuse. Because all of nature and all of the stars and all of those things declare Jesus Christ. Amen. And they become without excuse. He says, because that when they knew God, they knew a portion of God. They knew their portion of the Word. They know the God of the anointing. They know about God. And they know about those things. But it says they didn't receive it. It says, but when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They couldn't recognize. You think about that spirit of a man and the wisdom and all the things that came through with all those reformers and how there was great theologians, men that had, you know, Brother Branham used to say DD, PhD, LD, whatever. You know, I don't even know what those things mean, but apparently he did. But you think about all of that education of a man and what did God send to refute it?
Amen.
A man with a seventh grade education. That would listen to God instead of the reasoning of man. And so when they knew God, they're without excuse. And it says because they didn't realize it was God. They didn't glorify the word that that prophet brought as God. As God being brought in the form of the word. They didn't realize that. And it says, and they weren't thankful. And it says, then they became vain in their imaginations. They had all kinds of imaginations. Oh, we can build a... I have a man, he's married to one of my cousins. And he said they were planning to have a $1 million offering in one weekend at a church in Phoenix because they wanted to build a new church. And that was 20 or 30 years ago. You see, they're in their imaginations. They wanted to have the biggest, the highest, the most glorious. And I, you know, dread to say this, but the greatest internet program. Because then they can draw just that many more thousands. Whatever it is, if it's under the auspices of the knowledge of man rather than under the revelation of the eagle anointing of God, you better get away from it. Recognize it for what it is. Don't speak against the anointing. But you, as an individual, move on with God. It's not a church revelation. It's an individual revelation between you and God. Nothing else makes it in this generation. It's you and God. It's me and God. And neither were they thankful in their vain imaginations. Their forms of worship. Jesus said, in vain do you worship me. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of what? The Lamb? No, brother, God bless you. The commandments of men. And they go back. Remember that in the days of old, the manna? They said, don't even let a bit of it come till morning. Because it's got wiggle tails in it. And they have brought all those different doctrines and things in. And it's become vain imaginations, vain worship under the auspices or under the Spirit and the anointing of a man. And yet it's a genuine Holy Ghost anointing. Because that was one of the spirits that Ezekiel saw before the throne. And it's repeated when John saw it in the book of Revelations. A genuine Holy Ghost anointing under the wisdom of men, and it becomes vain or pointless worship. Worship without value. And you look at these, I remember we were in Nicaragua or in Panama with Brother Sandy Beach, and we were discussing music and how the gospel music has got so tainted with the things of the world and how the worldly music has crept in and how the Spirit of God has changed sometimes in these worship services. And I was across the room doing something. He said, well, listen to this, brother. And he brought up something on the internet. Brother, sister, I was about from here to those speakers away from him and I was doing something. And I'm going, my goodness, that's anointed. I said, brother, that is some... He goes, yep. I said, that's really anointed music. He said, come and look. And I went and looked at the computer. Them women, their dresses was up above. Brother, it was disgraceful. The ones that had dresses on, they was dressed like harlots. Everything hanging out and all kinds of music and dancing and stuff and carrying on. And yet singing under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But living under a man's doctrine. Living under a man's dogma, and their worship is in vain. Because they failed to hear the voice of the Word, which said there's a beauty of holiness. said, women, you dress a certain way. You act a certain way. Men, you do certain things. And they, because they ignored that, their worship is in vain, and yet tremendously anointed of the Holy Ghost. We're in Rome, brother, sister. I'm just telling you about a few things that come from Rome, all right? You okay with this? All right, praise the Lord. So they're without excuse, because when they knew and they glorified him not, they were unthankful, they became vain. Now watch this next part. And their foolish heart was darkened. Now let me ask a question here. Who is supposed to live in your heart?
Hallelujah.
Where, amen, brother.
Amen.
Where do we receive Jesus Christ? In the head? Oh, it's, yeah, you can receive it in your head, but it does you no good unless it goes to the heart.
Amen.
Because the heart is what determines the nature of the creature. He said, and it says their foolish hearts were darkened. So who becomes the master of their heart?
Darkness.
God bless you, brother. You're with me then. They turn down Jesus Christ and they receive Satan in their hearts. They receive darkness because they reject and were not thankful and gave not God the glory for what they received of God. Okay? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This was to be the title, they became fools. Because here it gets even down to a finer line. They profess themselves to be wise.
I'm Dr. So-and-so. I've heard every message of the hour. Three times. Except for one. I only heard it twice. But then I heard this one, you know. And they... I'm bringing it down to the message because, brother, sister, you got to be honest. It's come in among us. So we can't just put it all off on the denominational world. There are false prophets among the message of the hour. And I'm hoping that God is arming you tonight so that you can withstand those things and know Jesus Christ, the Word, is alive and well and living in your heart. Okay? So they profess themselves to be wise. Oh, I've got all the books. I've got all the message. I have internets. I have whatever it is. And I'm not picking on anybody in particular. There's real men of God with internet programs. Praise the Lord. You know, and there's real men of God with large congregations. Praise the Lord. God's blessed them with that. And I'm, you know, so I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm wanting you to see that it all goes back to this Word. Because that's the seed, and that's what God will manifest in your life. So it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now I wanted to dwell just a little bit on this word, fools. We think... When you go in and you look at it, it has one word there in the Greek, and the number is 3471 if you wanted to look it up. But that actually comes from another word, which is, I believe, the root word to it. But the word, the translation or the interpretation of it is insipid, which is disgusting, I would assume. Foolish. To lose its savor. Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor, it's not good for nothing but to be cast into the draught. And it's to make or to act foolishly. In other words, they're just flip. They don't care. I don't care about what the Word says. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care if it says this and you know that they're being foolish. And they're throwing away the very life of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which comes by the preaching of the Word. Well, I'm going to preach this, or I'm going to preach that, or I got my revelation, my doctrine, whatever it is. No, they became fools. But you see, the root word takes it a little different, or the other word that it comes from is 3474. If you're writing these things down, it means to be dull. They lost their hearing. They're dull. Remember the story Brother Branham gave one place? He said about the woman started screaming in the store and he went to see what it was and the little baby was just... And he said, what's the matter? And she said, well, she's trying to get the baby's attention. And she said, whatever it was, there was something that had caused that baby that it could no longer interact with the things of this world and of this life. It had become dull to the world. And it's dull to be stupid. You know, that takes on a lot, doesn't it? You know, you think of the guy that cuts you off in traffic and he's doing 100 and whatever and you're by your clicks. And you're thinking the guy's stupid because if he doesn't slow down, he's going to get in a wreck. He's either going to get a ticket or get in a wreck. And we think, well, that's stupid. You know, foolish decisions. But the next one begins to really uncover the scene. Well, there's the word absurd. In other words, it's like, what? What? You know, it's totally beyond our understanding. But the one I wanted to dwell on just a little bit is heedless blockheads. Now, usually about this point, I've ministered on this a few times, and I like to say, well, see, you can call them blockheads and you don't even have to repent. You know, when you think of a blockhead, well, this pulpit's a block of wood, really. And you think, ah, blockhead, right? In other words, they're about as smart as this piece of this wood of this pulpit. They're blockheads. Heedless means that they don't care about what's coming or what's happening. They're blockheads. But remember to whom this is being preached. Paul lived with the Romans. Paul was a Roman. He knew the customs of Rome. He knew the feasts and the festivals and all those things. He knew about Rome. And when he would call them fools or heedless blockheads, there was a reason. I've had the opportunity, God, I think, has had us in, I believe, 19 different countries over the last 7 years. And in every culture I've been, they have the strangest thing. In South Korea, in Africa, in all, even the among the Viking peoples and the different places, if you go and you look into little shops or you get to study their old culture, they have masks made from wood. And they use those masks to put on their face a block of wood. And they put it on their face. And when they have that, they are an actor. They're not themselves. They begin to act whatever the part is. This is where it starts. Scary is not the right word if you're a Christian, but that you might know there are actors that have entered in to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they'll put on whatever mask they need to do to deceive or to cause people to follow. And that's why it becomes so close as to deceive the very elect, because they're actors. And some men can act so well. I think about Cecil B. DeMille and the movie The Ten Commandments. And they say that when Charlton Heston, he got so into the part of being Moses that people wouldn't invite him to Hollywood parties anymore. Because he'd come dressed up like Moses. And there was such an anointing, genuine anointing, brother and sister, on Moses. not on Moses, but on Charlton Heston, that people would get convicted and leave the party. Brother, sister, I hate to disappoint you, but Charlton Heston wasn't Moses. He did a good job, but that wasn't Moses. You see, he was an actor. And there are people who will act like real Christians. They will act like message preachers. Have to, you know, wear the coat a certain way. Wear the tie a certain way. You know, put the message book on the pulpit so you can, you know. Another one maybe over here. And they can act the part. But brother, sister, it's up to you to discern whether it's real or not. Is this man just acting? Is he pointing me to Jesus Christ, the Word? Or is he just a really good actor? People come, they say, you have to worship a certain way. You have to, excuse me? Or, you know, I've heard people say, well, you got to follow this certain man. You have to worship a certain way. Those kind of things. You run into it all. Different camps, some people call it, around the message of the hour. If they tell you that, they're liars. Amen. You know how I know? Because I have a divine promise. A promise right out of this book. It says if just two or three of you get together, Amen. He's going to be here. Amen. And you tell me that that same two or three is going to worship the same way as 1,000 people or 10,000 person church? No. Probably not going to happen. You know, the little church at home, they call me pastor there in Tri-Cities. We got on a big day, 30 people. And it's usually 15 to 20. And it usually winds up for the music service, me and one other brother. Sometimes there's a brother comes down from the north, and we got three guitars and a harmonica. But yet the Spirit of the Lord comes by every time. Because they fail to see what the eagle said. Every church is sovereign within itself. I'd love to have a piano player. It'd be great. But that does not negate the promise. Amen. Amen. Two or three. Amen. He's there. Amen. And if it's even just you and God, is that two or three? People, they used to, you know, I cut timber for a long time, fought fire out in the woods. People say, why would you do a job like that? That's awful hard work. I'd say, yeah, it's hard work. But you know what? There were days I would go sometimes day after day after day, never see anybody. And it gave me time. And sometimes I get myself into situations like, I could get killed doing this job. And I'd stop and pray. And I can remember times getting down on my knees and saying, God, you know, them guys up there, they think I'm a good timber faller, but I know I'm not. But I know you know something about falling timber. Even if you didn't do it in Jesus the carpenter, you know it from Elijah because he said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. So could you show me what do you recommend for this situation? And it taught me to depend on God. Brother, sister, there's so many things. Stay with the Word. Amen. Stay with Jesus Christ. Amen. You know we have another promise. Would you like to read it? In Hebrews, keep your finger there in Romans. We'll come back just for a few more verses. I believe it's the 13th, if I remember rightly, of Hebrews. Maybe it's 12. Let me see here. Yes, it's chapter 12 of Hebrews, first verse. Remember, God's Word has the power of creation behind it. Amen. And if He said it, it'll come to pass exactly as He said. Because He creates the conditions to bring it to pass. When we think about, you know, Jesus being the, as it were, the seed of David. Well, we know it was a supernatural seed, but when God said that, all of creation began to line up. This girl meets this guy, they get married. This guy meets this girl, they get married. This guy maybe, he's on a journey and some little girl flashes his eyes and he marries her. And that seed line begins to form. And even we had the dispensations of the Gentiles come in and interrupt it. And Israel gets scattered from their homeland, sent to Babylon. But when it comes back, the seed line was still in order. Because nature was conforming itself to bring to pass the Word of God. And so, we see the power of creation. And he says here in chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher." He didn't just start it, friends. He's going to finish it. The finisher of our revelation, our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down before the right hand of the throne of God. But what did we read first? "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Brother, sister, I don't see him. I don't have the supernatural eyes to see like Elijah did that day when Gehazi said, "Oh, Master, what are we going to do?" Amen. Elijah says, "Lord, open his eyes. Just open them." And he opened his eyes, and there was, whatever it was, thousands of angels. Amen. Brother, sister, the Bible says we're encompassed about by such a great cloud of witnesses. They're here tonight. Amen. They're in the ramparts of glory. You think that might be, you know, some of those churches somewhere might be big churches. The Church of the Living God is here tonight to hear the gospel preached. And the power of the resurrection will one day bring those that are here tonight and us together with Jesus Christ, the Word, simply because God said it. They're here. Not because we see them, but because God said they are. See how simple it is? It's that simple. The walk with Jesus Christ is simple. Back to Romans. It said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They became entertainers. The fools in the days of Rome, they would put on the mask. And we've seen the pictures, and they had the funny hats with the bells and the curly Q shoes. And they would dance, and they'd do all their things, entertaining the Caesars and the priests and all those things by political agenda. Sometimes someone would come behind and slip them a little cash and say, "Hey, if you get the eye of the king or whoever it was, you know, and he grants you a favor, look, I'll give you, 5,000 ducats or whatever they had, if you just ask for this thing." So the little entertainer, he does his thing, and the king goes, "Ha, ha, ha, ha. I'll grant you a request. What would you like?" Well, he's got 5,000 ducats in his pocket. Of course he's going to say what the guy wanted. And, brother, sister, it's no different than Hollywood today. You give them a political agenda, whether it's the green movement or whether it's the homosexual movement, whatever it might be, and they will take money to preach that doctrine on your television sets, on your computers. They will sell out. They'll sell their souls instead of receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some of them are good at it. Some of them can be so anointed, and you look at how they're actually... Remember, it was Judas, if you want to get real serious about this, how close that spirit is. Judas walked with Jesus all the way up, actually, to Calvary, because Judas also hung himself. Prophet said there was 4 men hanging on a tree that day, because Judas and his disciple went to hell, because Judas hanged himself. And that spirit never died, friends. All it did was it followed the gospel. And it began to cause men to do things and to say things and to sell. But what did Judas do? When it came time, let's look at, I believe it's John 16. Let's just watch him just for a moment. Or it's John 12. Getting ready to close. It's 8:15. I don't know what time you would end a session like this. Or if this is helpful, we'll carry on just a little bit more.
But I want you to be able to identify the different spirits and be able to identify what you're looking at is, what are they preaching? Are they preaching Christ the Word? And are they pointing you to Christ the Word? Are they pointing you to a closer walk with Jesus Christ? Or are they trying to take you away from Christ? It's a it's a fine line. And now watch this Judas spirit in John chapter 12. We'll start at the first verse. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, which he had raised from the dead. So you know the spirit of the resurrection's there, because Lazarus is alive. And it says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus is one of them that sat at the table with him. Now watch from verse 3. They took Mary a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So we see Mary here, and she takes this ointment, spikenard, very costly. And she breaks the box and she anoints the feet of Jesus and she throws herself at his feet. A type of the church. Amen. And the glory of a woman is her hair. Amen. And she takes her glory. Amen. And lays it at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. And she begins to wipe the feet and with her tears anoints. The Bible says to anoint your eyes with eye salve. That's natural eye salve. And so she's anointing the feet of Jesus. She's wiping the feet with her hair. And as she has laid all of her glory on the feet of Christ. And here she is, and she's going through these things so much that it says the whole house was filled with the smell of the ointment. Oh, it was beautiful. And as she's performing this act, Church of God, lay yourself at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Surrender your glory. Amen. Surrender my glory. Lord, help me to surrender our glory at the feet of Jesus. Amen. To anoint those feet with our lives. Amen. With our hearts, with our desire. Amen. It's that individual walk, brother, sister. Each one of us has to do it our own way. It says that she anoints his feet. They can smell it throughout the house. And when this happens, then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, the one which would betray him. Now watch. Here he is watching this. And he's watching this woman. And we know in another place it said that Jesus says to her that, you know, she did this for the day of my burying. She was fulfilling the word of God. Because the Old Testament lamb, before it was slain, it had to be anointed. It had to be washed. It had to go through that process. And she was doing what the priests could not do and would not do. And here is Judas judging this situation and saying, why did she do this? He's standing there, Judas Iscariot. He says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He didn't like what she did with her money. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your boss. I don't know. Maybe they don't like that you spend your money to come to church. Or spend your money to buy Bibles to send overseas, or whatever you do with your money. And maybe they don't like that. And here was Judas, and he's observing this, and he gets upset with it. And he said, shouldn't this have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? But watch verse 6. He said this, not that he cared for the poor. He didn't care for the poor. You think the Pope does? Come on. He's always talking about, oh, we have to do this for the poor. We have to do that for the poor. The Muslims, they're no different. I just saw a little clip the other night about a famous woman in America that, you know, she has decided to become a Muslim because of how much they care for the poor. Do they? You ever been in one of their temples? They're throwing them up pretty fast in America. They don't care for the poor.
They want the money.
Amen.
The Muslims, they're having a hard time with America because they've done some research and they said some of those guys that have come to America, they sent them over there to be terrorists. Well, they get there and they get under the Laodicean spirit. And they don't want to be a terrorist anymore. They like it and they want to stay. And it's like, no, I don't want to blow anything up. I like this place. I'm rich and increased with goods. Go away. It's funny, but it's the truth, friends. But he didn't care for the poor. It says, but he was a thief. He was a thief. He wanted the gift that she laid at the feet of Jesus. He wanted that, the profit from that gift. And he said, and he had a bag and what was bare therein, and put what was there. He was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put in it. In other words, the money that went in the bag belonged to Judas. He was the one that took care of it. Jesus says, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor ye always have with me, but me ye have not always. Now, let's look at, just for a minute, the bag. You look at that word up in the Greek and it says it's a case in which they store the mouthpieces or the mouthpiece of wind instruments. So it's, in other words, it's just a little bag that they put, and you've probably seen them, like for the clarinet, the saxophones, those things, and they have that reed and it has to be kept just right. Or the trumpets, they come in a little bag, and all the musical instruments, they put the mouthpieces in the little bag. Okay, that's the first definition. Okay, it's a little bag for musical wind instruments. They also put bodies in bags. They call them body bags, obviously. And it's so, that was another thing. And they said they used them for caskets. And another thing was, just simply as we think of it, a purse where you put money. And then it begins to, there's two roots to that word. And there's two other things in the purse or in the bag. And it says a language, a tongue. And it's a language that you have to be taught. I didn't write all of it down, but it's the tongue or the language. Brother, sister, the language of the world. And you'll see in just a minute. It's the language, the tongue, a member of the body, or a particular dialect. You ever watch the kids on the street? And they get going on that rap music, doot, doot, and they got all these certain words, and I don't even know what half of them are. But it's a language, and they learn that language. And remember who holds the bag. And the spirit didn't die, just the man. And that spirit now holds the bag. And they're learning this language, and the other word is cosmos. The two words that make up the word bag are cosmos, and I forgot to write down the other one, what the actual word was, but it's the order, arrangement, or decoration of the world and its inhabitants. He holds the people of the world in his bag. And he holds them by the music. Come on. And he holds them by death. And he holds them by money. And he holds them... You think about, the money, the purse, death, language. And it also, as you begin to get into the word cosmos, it's the orderly arrangement, the decoration of the world and its inhabitants, the order, the adorning, the fashions, friends. The fashions of the world. I'm not saying you sisters have to wear your skirts to where they sweep the floor. But if you're looking like one of them twisted down little... You might examine who you're following or what influence is upon you. Because Judas is what, this is what he holds in the bag. The adorning of the world.
you dress like a Christian. You pray when you buy your dresses, when you buy your skirts, whatever it is. You pray before you go out. Appreciate my wife. Sometimes she gets a skirt or she'll make something. She comes in, she says, honey, is this all right? And she does the, you know. Sorry, darling. But, and she asks. And so every once in a while, the one that I think, you know, I might say, well, walk across the room. No, it's all right. No worries. You see, because Judas holds the fashions of the world. All right? And it's also the orderly arrangement of the stars. Now, we think about in the days of Paul, and he had the stargazers and all of that. But we have a city in America called Los Angeles, or the city of stars, or fallen angels. And he holds the doctrines and the money and death in the music. Brother Branham said they used to go to France for that stuff. Now they go to Hollywood. You see that spirit of Judas? Brother, sister, it spread throughout the world. Almost finished. And it also has the meaning to carry off to harm. The whole idea behind that spirit of Judas is to harm you, to take you into hell where he went. So, we see those things. Let's go back. We'll finish up with Romans, let you get home or to the coffee shop, wherever you go. Praise the Lord. It says they became fools. Understand it?
Amen.
They become actors. And they take on a spirit of Judas. They hold the book shut so that you never really see Christ. You'll get their doctrine. You'll get their headship or whatever it is that they're promoting. Brother, sister, stay with this book. Stay with that eagle anointing. There's certain words and things that come with the spirit of the eagle that will set you free. That will birth you in Christ and take you into the heavenlies through Jesus Christ. I'll just mention one of them. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Wonder what that means. You know what Brother Branham said about it? He said, that's the Old and the New Testament. How do you get out of here? How do we get out of here? How do we mount up and clear this world? With the Old and the New Testament. Another place it says that that the eagle, it says, will renew his strength like the eagle. With this eagle message, friends, you renew your strength. Another place it says, renew your youth. Did not our prophets say that we'll one day you'll just find yourself looking like younger? And you get turned back to like a 21, 22, wherever your position in life were when you were at your prime. Only it's better than even that. Because you'll be traveling like a thought. In a perfect body. And how does it come? You'll renew your strength. Like the eagle. The spirit of the eagle has the power to cause us to mount up out of this world and to renew our strength and to renew our youth. To take us back to where God saw us in the beginning, which was with him in his thoughts. In his thoughts, God saw you with him. And that comes. Ephesus was, Brother Branham said, so mature they could have been raptured. But it wasn't time. Because that rapture comes with the eagle anointing. And they were under the anointing of the lion. Which maybe we'll get into that tomorrow morning. Do you love him? Well, we read a couple more scriptures. 23, they changed the glory of God, of the uncorruptible God, to an image like unto corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. What do they go into? They've changed the glory of God. They changed Christ, the living God, the power of the resurrection, the power of the gospel. These are men that are actors. They're acting like they know this gospel. They're wise, but they became fools. Or they think they're wise, but they've become fools. And they're acting this way, but what are they actually taking you to? They've changed the image or the glory of the uncorruptible God. He's the God that knows no corruption. If the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ raised Him from the dead so that that body would not know corruption, if the same Spirit that dwelled in Christ dwelleth in you, it shall change these mortal bodies. Because it's a spirit of non-corruption. And they changed that into an image made like corruptible man. What anointing are they under? They're under the anointing of the man. So what are they going to point you to? Corruptible men. Corruptible doctrine. Vain worship. And the spirit that is so on the world by the Judas spirit that's alive and well and living, you know, all over this world will take them to worship a man who declares himself God. Corruptible man. And so we know it's going to take them to Pope worship. But it's also the worship of birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Where do those things dwell? Let's just cut the chase. It's earth worship. Amen. Amen. They worship the things of the world. And they've got, oh, and I've seen some of the movies, some of them are beautiful. National Geographic, I don't know if you have that over here. And they got all these things and how beautiful the earth is and all this and protect the earth and do this. And I said one time in a service, I hope you all don't throw me out, but one time I said, you know those bumper stickers you used to see in America? I haven't seen many lately, but it used to say, save the earth or save the whales or whatever it was. I said, if they can save the earth, Jesus Christ died in vain. Whew. All of a sudden, it got real quiet, and you should have seen the eyes. But it's the truth, friends. They're worshiping the world and the things of the world, and they nature worship. You say, well, that's what it says, and I'll close with, let me read this next verse just to make sure. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worth, there it is, and served the creature more than the Creator who's blessed forever and ever. Amen. They serve the creature. They serve man. They serve the earth. And the reason I said that is we were just in Israel. And I'll close with this scripture. It's Matthew 16. Well, I'll finish that one first. More than the Creator who's blessed forever. Amen. He is the Amen. But in Matthew, what did I say, 16? The reason I want you to understand this and understand what they're worshiping and what that spirit is. Y'all have the green movement in Ireland? Of course you do. It's the green. It's the Emerald Island, right? That's pretty obvious. But, you know, they have another movement out there through... Did you know the Pope has declared pollution a sin? Do you think it's because he cares about the poor? Just a question. Matthew, the 16th chapter. One I'm sure you're familiar with, but took on a whole new aspect for my life, being in Israel. And it's where, in verse... 12. We'll start. He's talking about beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees, and then they start to, the disciples are kind of going, well, you think he's telling us that because we didn't bring bread? You know, kind of a carnal way of looking at things there. And it says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Did you know the whole world, denominational world, is going after that anti-pollution thing? And they think they can save the earth? Did you know the President of the United States just told the whole world here, I think it was yesterday or the day before, gave his speech at some big convention and said the biggest enemy of earth is pollution? You know, if I told you what the Arabs said about it, they think he's on drugs. But that's what I was just reading the news clip, and that's what one of the guys said. I think if the Americans think that, he's on drugs. But that's because that's the doctrine that's being presented from the pulpits of the churches, from the pulpits of the politicians, and for those that want to make money. Okay, so they understood that he's not talking about that, but he's talking to the doctrine. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? So he's just warned them about these doctrines. And they say, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. But he says to them, who do you say that I am?
Amen.
Who do you say he is tonight?
Amen.
I say he's the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
All right? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Friend, this doesn't come by a flesh and blood revelation. It doesn't come by sitting and listening to the gospel and getting it in your head. It comes by receiving Jesus Christ in the heavenlies, in your heart, because that's the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God, he said, is within you. So that had to come from something from within Peter that was not of flesh and blood. Even though we know he hadn't received the gift of the Holy Ghost yet, something in Peter cried out, thou art the Son of the living God. And that was a revelation from heaven, from the kingdom of heaven. And he said unto and they said, who do you say that I am? Peter said that. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We know Brother Branham talked about the different doctrines around that. The Protestants believe it was a certain rock that was there. And friends, they were in Israel by the hundreds, going to all those different sites with their denominational buses. Nothing against it. They have the right to do what they would. But you know, and the Catholics, they believe it was on Peter himself, and that's why they declare Peter their first pope. But Brother Branham said, read it like it says. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this. It's the revelation of who he is. A spiritual revelation from the kingdom of heaven between you and God of who Jesus Christ is. But now watch this last verse and we'll finish here. He says, and I say unto you, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But he said, I say unto you, you're Peter, and upon this rock, the revelation of Jesus Christ is where he's going to build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I know that there is multiple meaning. Every scripture has compound meaning, compound revelation. And we know that there are the gates of hell. The enemy is always against us. We are, as soon as you become a Christian, you might as well paint a big target right on your chest. Because every devil in hell, and now we don't even just have the ones that we had before, but at the loosing of the seals, we won't have going to why that is, but then extra 200,000 devils got released against the message of the hour. So we're in a battle, friends. And hell wants to take you there. That's the battle, all right? But he says the gates of hell will not prevail against this revelation. Against the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And when you go to Israel, we went up to the place that they call the gates of hell. And it's been, you know, built, tore down, rebuilt, tore down, rebuilt. And I believe it was the Macedonians had it, the Greeks had it, the Romans had it. They all had this place, and it's where the Jordan River is birthed. It comes from springs out of the mountain. And there's, I think, two or three springs. I forgot how it worked exactly. And you walk these little trails, and here's the water just flowing right out of the mountain like that. And just above there is the place they call the gates of hell. And they had there places of worship. And those places of worship, well, one, they found this partial temple of, I forgot what, you know, age it was, but it was Pan worship.
You know what Pan was? It was an idol that came all the way, if you trace it down through Hyslop's to Babylon or even the Church Age book, it came out of Babylon. And it was the worship of the earth. It was the pantheists, the ones that believed in, you know, flower power, whatever you want to call it. It was all of those things. And then there was another temple for this other god, and another temple for this other idol. And it was the earth worship, and it was they had the place for the actors and all those things and how they performed their sacrifices. And there was a big cave there where they would throw their sacrifices and then they would wait. And there used to be a pool there, although the pool's gone now. And they said that when they threw the blood sacrifice of their animal into that pool, they would wait. And after a time, if the water coming out from down below started to turn red, they believed that their false god, of course they didn't think it was false, but they believed that their god had accepted their sacrifice because now the river would run blood for a little while. And the gates of hell, that idol worship, that world spirit, that spirit that brings the actors, that brings the pantheism, that brings all of those things, that place of worship, that kind of worship, that demon hell from Babylon will not prevail against the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the same word of God that said, let there be light. If you will let it prevail in you, it will prevail over every evil demon, over every 200,000 demons, whatever comes against you. The creative power, the resurrection of Jesus Christ by the gospel will keep you and take you from this earth. God bless you this evening. Thank you. We've suffered long. Let us stand. You know that? Can we stand? There's a... taught this up at Brother Tommy's the other night. Maybe you know it. Oh Lord, you are so precious. Oh Lord, you are so precious, and I love you. Yes, I love you because you first loved me. And I love you, yes, I love you, because you first loved me. Let's just close our eyes. Lord Jesus, I believe we've preached the gospel tonight. Lord, I'm asking that your Spirit would anoint every heart and life, God, and give us the strength. Let the creative power create Jesus Christ in us, for you overcame the world, and now you can overcome in us. So we give you this service, we give you these words, and now give you our worship in the name of Jesus Christ. As Brother Andrew comes, oh Lord, you are so precious to me. Oh Lord, you are so precious to me. And I love you. Yes, yes, I love you because love me, and I love you. Yes, I love you because you first love.
Jesus, I love you because you first loved me. And I love you. Yes, I love you because you first loved me.
Holy hand, El Alive, El Alive.
words long preserved. Don't you love the ancient words? Yeah, but you can take the word, as the brother David was preaching tonight. People take the word, but without that real anointing, the eagle anointing on it, the same scripture, it doesn't do the same things to people. That's why we're the most blessed of the peoples of the earth. You know, David, he said it, he says, Lord, because of, you know, the visitation of the Lord, he says, Lord, I was had more gladness than when the world brings in its new corn and its wine and all those kind of things. He says, a day in your courts is better than a thousand anywhere else. Now, to the believer, this is our inheritance, friends. To worship Him, to feed, to sit at His table, to feast as His guests. It's a great privilege, friends. We really appreciate it. Let's sing that song.
Holy words, long preserved for our hope in this world. We resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Words of light,
words of light, words of hope. Give us strength, help us grow in this world where we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing. We come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words speak.
Oh, ancient words,
ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We come with open hearts. Oh, let ancient words impart, holy words of our faith, and it's time to the saved. Oh, they came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of us, holy words. Ancient words,
ancient words,
ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We are now with open eyes. Oh, let the ancient words,
ancient words,
ancient words.
Before we close, we'll ask Brother Max to come and close for us, please, if you would. Just to really appreciate the word tonight. Wonderful. But there was so much said in there. You could take so much of the depth of the message and distill it into one message. It was incredible. Especially about the anointing, friends. It is so true. That's one of the greatest revelations of the message, is the anointed ones at the end time. No, it's such a powerful, powerful revelation.
Amen.
That someone can be anointed. And like Brother David was showing, the anointing of the eagle and the anointing of the man. And how they work hand in hand. You know, and you can find somebody can be so anointed, but it just not be the genuine thing.
That's right.
And it's not going to bring about the genuine thing. And it's a real, real sobering thing to think about. It just makes you want to go and hide yourself away within the veil. Just get under the wings of the cherubim. Just get yourself under the Shekinah presence and just stay there. And let man and the things of man pass away. And just let it be him. Let him just be bathing down on you, that his anointing for this age may bring forth in your life what you've been ordained to bring forth. I'm sure that's your desire. That's my desire tonight. If anybody has a request, raise your hand as we ask Brother Max to close with.
Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words seem part. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. The message that we have received, God. Father, we know that in this our day, there are many, many churches. There are many worshippers.
Yes, Lord.
There are many people that call themselves prophets.
Amen.
Oh Lord, even though you said somewhere
Amen.
That these people, they draweth nigh unto me
yes,
with their mouths.
Amen.
And they honoreth me with their lips.
Yes.
But their hearts is far away from
yeah.
me. Lord, we thank you that in this our day, oh God, you have a place where you've
yeah.
put your name.
Amen.
Where you meet with the worshippers. And Father, we thank you, the Lord, we have found the place where you have laid your name, O God.
Yes.
Father, we thank you, we bless you for your mercy, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, the Lord, you said, to some it is not given.
Amen.
But to us, Lord, it is given.
Hallelujah.
That we should know the revelation of this our time.
Yes.
Father, we bless you, we give you the glory.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for our precious brother David,
Hallelujah.
Using him so mightily tonight, O God,
yes,
to bless
Lord.
Us. Lord, the virtue that has gone out of him, Father, replace, Lord.
Yes,
even
Lord.
As you prepare him for tomorrow, God,
Amen.
Oh, once again, we are waiting, Lord, that you come in our midst once again, Lord, with the power of the moving of the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
oh, Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord. Father, even as we raise our hands tonight, Lord, you know our needs, Lord. Father, let the Holy Spirit. Oh, come meet each and everyone, Lord. According to your riches in glory, Lord, bless your children. Bless your church. Oh, Father, we surrender, Lord. Wherever, Father, the little things that beset us, oh God, Father, we lay them tonight. Lord, let the Holy Spirit come, consume it.
Yes.
And Father, restore, Amen. Lord, unto
yes,
us
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Everything
yes.
the Lord Jesus we have lost to God.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you, we bless you, Lord.
Yes.
Even tonight, Lord, as we move from here, O God, we
Amen.
Know your spirit goes with us.
Amen.
Father, let us continue with this word.
Yeah.
Oh,
Hallelujah.
Let it be engraved in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Even through the night, O God, to our closest, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
that once again you granted Jenny mercies, Lord.
Amen.
Our going out tonight and our coming back tomorrow morning, if you tarry,
yes.
then Lord, once again, oh, we are with all expectation that
Amen.
Your great visitation will once again, oh, be manifested in
Amen.
Your church, O God. We thank you, we bless you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the musicians.
Amen.
We thank you for our children.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for our wives.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You for our husbands.
Amen.
Oh, we thank you for the youths.
Yes.
We thank you, O God, for our precious brother and the wife, O Lord.
Yes.
Father,
Amen.
Bless them, Lord.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, tonight, even when we lay down, speak to us
yes, Lord.
In visions,
yes,
in
Lord.
Dreams.
Hallelujah.
Let us, Lord Jesus, be closer to you, O God. We ask all this, O Lord, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, even we've not forgotten, if there is anyone sick amongst us,
yes,
O God,
yes.
we know that we live here healed.
Amen.
In
Amen.
The name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's just sing in that song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand.
Amen.
Isn't that your desire? Let's keep holding to his unchanging hand. Let's pray for tomorrow. It's coming good time for adult Sunday school. Put your children in the Sunday school. And let's come for the second half. And may the Lord continue to build from glory to glory. In Jesus' name.
Time is filled with swift transition.
My sister, my brother.